First year we did a change of heart, or the heart of change, idols of the heart lecture. So 2 years ago, you remember those flow charts I kind of drew for you? If I say to you this, why do you do what you do? Your answer is? Oh, you guys are good. All right. So that was like 3 years ago for you. And then track two, I illustrated the issues of the heart from Psalm 73. Okay, the man who struggled, and we saw how the Lord began to transform his heart in Psalm 73. So remember that. Anybody remember that from last year? Okay, this year, I'm going to throw a little twist at you just a little bit. If I ask you, okay, I ask you this. Why do you feel the way you feel? Why do you feel in your emotional state the way you feel many times? Okay, because something to do with my thinking and your speaking and your thinking. And why do I do what I do? Because I? Why do you want what you want? Because you don't have what you want. No, that's not quite the theological answer that I was looking for. You recognize we can push this back one step further. Why do we even begin to lust after all of these things that we lust for and not lust after God like we should? Okay, so why do we do that? And we can push this back one more step. And that is what I want to begin to kind of flesh out to you today, the role that deception plays in stimulating those idols of the hearts. So I'm just reading the title for you. Now, we are going to take the scenic route to our topic this morning. I'm an Old Testament guy. I love talking about the Old Testament. And today's lecture is actually going to be somewhat of an exposition of Genesis 3. But we're going to Genesis 3, I'm going to go back to Genesis 2 and likely even Genesis 1 for just a second. The first half of this is going to be relatively free for you. You didn't pay for this. I'm throwing it in extra. So that's what you get a little bit more this morning because of my Old Testament love. And you don't have to take notes on this any of this first stuff right now. So unless you just are really, really compelled to. Okay, so is that a fair deal? This may be a trick question for you. What was the first thing God created? Oh, I got a whole different bunch of answers here. Somebody said light. Somebody said heavens and earth. Is the text that unclear? the heavens and the earth, why don't we actually go to the text for just a moment? That would be a good thing, wouldn't it be? Biblical counselors, they go to the text, Genesis 1. And the creation of the world. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, what if that was a title verse, like a chapter title? Chapter 1, here is the beginning of the creation of the heavens and the earth. And, well, if that was a title verse, not the first creative act of God, if that was the case. So I'm not going to make a case for that being the case, but if that was the case, and that was a title verse, then what is the first creative act of God? You guys, what's in verse 2? So if light was the first creative act of God, then was the earth just there? And who created that? It's all a trick to idolatry soon, but it starts in Genesis 1, okay? If the earth was there, who had the creative it? The answer is absolutely it is God. So we're not talking about any kind of eternally existent earth. Describe for me the earth in that state. How would you like to live the earth in this state at this moment in time? Okay, you probably would not. So describe that earth for me there. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Great place to be. Sounds like Minnesota in the winter, okay? I know there's just a lot of Minnesota folks here, so that's why I'm harping on them. Describe that earth for me. Something that's good? No. So talk to me about the earth for just a moment. I'm going to put the earth up here. It had to be something that God first created there. It was there. Describe that earth. Just like the universe? Okay. Okay, it was a blob. Okay. A water-covered blob. So let's go with blob. Okay. A watery blob. and dark. Dark, okay, formless, no order to it. Okay, so there was no order to it, formless. Just use the text, formless. Anything else? It was empty, okay? Dark, watery, blob, mess. So you're saying to me that God created a blob. Is that what you're saying? You're saying God created a mess in the beginning? God made a mess? But there is hope for something that's coming out of that. Let's say in the beginning, whatever you call this, I mean, obviously God is involved, so whatever you call this, I'm going to call this, do not go further than I'm going with this. I'm going to call this chaos. And by that, I mean a watery, formless, empty space, okay? There was no form and order to this, okay? That doesn't mean it's bad. There was no form and order to this, and you could not be sustained there unless the Spirit of God was energizing you because it was not habitable for you. So it was a chaos. Where did he? What was the very first thing after this that he moved to? What he moved to? What he began to do? Okay, so out in verse 3, there, guys, go to verse 3 now. What does verse 3 say? Let there be. Okay, so into that watery blob, dark chaos blob mess thing, but not a mess thing because God's involved. God created lights, okay, out of the darkness, and he began to do something. After the light, he goes to the rest of the creation, and he begins to do something else. What does he do to the formlessness? He begins to separate, okay? So he separates the waters from below from waters above. So he begins to form the formless. What does he do to the emptiness? What does he do to the emptiness? He begins to fill it with good things as well. Okay, so he puts in the oceans. He puts in the oceans the swarms of living things. He puts on the land vegetation, ultimately climaxing in the animals and ultimately then in the people as well. So he begins to fill it. What is he doing? He's going from the chaos to what? Order. And I'm going to use a word just because pastors like to alliterate things. Cosmos, a nice ordered universe that is hospitable to you and living as a earthly being. How does he do this, by the way? How does he do this? By his word. He goes from the chaos to the cosmos by his word. Okay? Why do you think God did it this way? He could have said, in the beginning there was the creation, and that's the way I made it, and perfectly formed at that moment in time in one verse, not an entire chapter. Why did he do it this way? The text doesn't say the nature of his character. Okay, that's correct, but tell me, why is this the nature of his character? He's relational. God is the Word. So maybe there was a pattern here, even in the beginning, where God, this is the way that God tends to work, where he can start with this, whatever it is in Genesis 1-2, and move it by the Spirit and his Word to a beautiful creation. That sound like something God does on a regular basis? Just like life today, just like your counselees today, when they come in with a chaotic life, and I know the analogy may not be perfect, but 2 Corinthians 5:17 or 1 Corinthians 5:17, if any man is in Christ, you are a new creation. And how did you get that way in Christ, who is called the Word of God, who begins to come into your life and bring out of that chaos of unformed mess a beautiful creation in your life. Now, he just didn't want to stop there either. What happens in Genesis 2? We're going to get to Genesis 3. Now we're moving into Genesis 2. What did he do? He went from the chaos to the creation by his word. And then what does he want to do in Genesis chapter 2? Rests. And that is described as a beautiful, I'm going to use this word, a beautiful sanctuary paradise. He wants to put his Adam and Eve, his son and daughter, so to speak, in a beautiful paradise sanctuary to rule over the works of his hand. So sanctuary paradise. I'm going to use that term very specifically for a reason. Sanctuary paradise. When I use the word sanctuary, what do you think of? Worship. What else? Sanctuary, you think of?
Safety.
Set apart. Peace, absolutely, in a sanctuary. Holy. Why is it holy? because it's